Luke 16:1. Raise your hand if you're there. Waiting for everybody's hand. Hopefully you won't wear out. All right. And he said also unto his disciples, there is a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. What's a steward? He's like a business manager, isn't he? He was a business manager over the affairs of a certain rich man. Had charge of all his goods and his business. And he called them and said unto them, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. You need to come in with the books and give an accounting. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. I can relate to that. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their homes. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou to my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, sit down quickly and write 50. He had the authority to do that. He was the steward. He could reduce thy bill by whatever amount he wanted. He did. Then he said to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. 20% discount. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. How had he done wisely? He prepared for his future. He prepared for his future. All these people that he reduced their bill by these large amounts now owed him something. And from now on, he wouldn't have to worry about working. He wouldn't have to worry about begging. All these people whose bill had been reduced by this significant amount would now take him in and take care of him. He prepared for his future. Verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now this man was wise because he had earthly existence and he was going to take care of his future earthly existence. And the Lord is comparing that to the children of light who will spend forever and ever and ever and ever and ever in heaven. And he's saying that this man was wise even though he's unjust because he took care of his future and he had only an earthly future. But he said, but the Lord said, the children of light aren't so smart, aren't so wise. They don't take care of their future. They don't plan ahead for their future. They're thinking like the world. They're only planning ahead for this world. They're not planning ahead for the next world. That next year world is really long. He said unto his disciples now, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of righteousness. Now this man made friends of the mammon of unrighteousness for his earthly future. He says, but I say to you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, that's when you die, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Prepare for eternity. I know he's saying there's one thing that's going to count in eternity, and that is the souls that have come to Christ because you have used the mammon of unrighteousness that God has entrusted us with for eternal results. Verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, we live in America. And what's important in America? What's really important in America? Money. But in God's country, or in God's kingdom, what is the least important? Money. In the USA, the most important thing, one of the most important things, money. But what does God call it? The least important thing. You know, it is so important that people are going, that Christians and people, they hang on to it with all they've got. And they measure their future happiness by how much money they have. And they value, they think that their happiness will come by how much money they have. Really important money. That God says it is one of the most unimportant things. He says it's least in the kingdom of God. From God's standpoint, it's nothing. Well, that's pretty obvious. He owns cattle on 1,000 hills. The wealth in every mine. Streets in heaven aren't with asphalt, they're paved with gold. But Notice what it says. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. What's it saying? He that is faithful in that which is least, what is that? He that is faithful to God, using it for God's glory, for God's purposes, to see as many people won to Christ as possible, he that is faithful in the least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least, what's the least? Money. Is unjust also in much. He that is unjust, unfaithful to God, and how they use their money, they're unfaithful to the important things, spiritual things. And so God makes this statement, if you have therefore been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Money isn't riches in God's kingdom, it's nothing. He says, if you aren't faithful with money, he says, you will never be entrusted with anything that is of any real spiritual value. Now, I always give this survey every time I get a chance. Every time I get a chance. And today I took the survey again. We have a number of young people in our membership class, and it's really, they are really a delight. We're having a great time. I get to preach every time. The Holy Spirit is there. I feel liberty. Lord, it's a good group of kids. But I took my survey, and I always ask, and says, okay, now you've got a bunch of kids here. They've all been from different backgrounds, all been around. They've been around Christian teenagers and different churches, different places. I said, okay, how many Christian teenagers in general, how many Christian teenagers tithe? They all gave the same answer. What answer would you give? Almost none. People from Arizona, people from here, people from there. Not Arizona, New Mexico. That's close. I do know geography a little bit. Next to Canada, no. Huh. I've always asked that question all through the years. You know, I remember one time we had a preacher boys club. This is what, years ago, 20 years ago, maybe more than that. And I had those preacher boys sit in the front row every service. That's where they sat. Preacher boys club sat in the front row. I watched the offering plate go by every service. Almost without exception. I shouldn't say that. But the vast majority of time, the offering plate would go through that row and there'd be nothing in it. Nothing. But man, if I sent them out passing out tracts, they always had money to go to the drugstore or wherever. Always had money for soda. Always had money for treats. Always. When the offering plate went by, almost without exception, I never saw anything in there. You know, that was prophetic. Not for two of them, for the rest of them, it was prophetic of their future. It was prophetic of what their future life would be like. And I can just I could tell you, you'd be horrified if I could tell you this, where those young men are today, except for two of them. But you know, the Bible's saying the exact same thing. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? What's he saying? God would be foolish to trust a person with spiritual things that can't even be trusted with unrighteous mammon. What's he saying? Now, let's put it in a different perspective. We have all these teenagers tell us that teenagers that they know or they've been around in general, their impression was they very few of them tithe. Could I ask you a question? What is the future of Christianity in America? You know, those same young people will someday be in Bible colleges. Those Christian young people will, some of them will be preachers. You say preachers tithe, you don't understand. There are fundamental independent Baptist churches, pastors who said they can't afford to tithe. I've met graduates of Bible colleges who said they have never tithed. They couldn't afford to tithe. You see, what the Lord is saying, he's saying money tells a whole lot about a person's heart. Money tells a whole lot about a person's value system. Money tells a whole lot about if they even understand spiritual things. You see, the person who has the wrong view of money doesn't understand spiritual things. And they certainly could never be trusted with the ministry and the things of God because they don't think spiritually. They think like a secularist. They think like a heathen. They don't understand the ways of God. Now, Paul, you just got a check for $5,000. And all the banks closed. Well, no, it wasn't a check for $5,000. It was $5,000 cash. Better yet. Okay? And, you know what? You got to go on an evangelistic crusade. Nothing you can spend it on. You're preaching all the time, praying, and everything else. And so you got to find somebody to take care of it for you. Right? Guess what? Are you going to give it to a known thief? Why not? He'll rob you. Yeah, he can't be trusted, can he? He can't be trusted. You know, that's what the Bible's saying. Bible's saying that people who rob God, God can't trust them. Is there anything in the Bible about robbing God? Who can tell me a verse in the Bible that tells about people robbing God? Where? Malachi what? Malachi 3. Let's turn there. Malachi 3. Verse 8. Raise your hand when you're there. Okay. Malachi 3, verse 8. Okay. All right. Good. Everybody there? Good. I've been going too fast from verse to verse and then I lose you. Your eyeballs got to see that verse, right? Okay. Put your hands down. Will a man rob God? You say, nobody would be foolish enough to try to rob God. Yet, God says, you have robbed me. But you say, come on, Lord, where have we robbed thee? Come on, where have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Now, you see, the tithe belongs to God. It wouldn't be called robbery if it didn't belong to God. But because you have stolen what belongs to God and used it for yourself, it's called robbery. Tithe belongs to God. It's holy. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy that the tithe belongs to God. It belongs to God. It's holy. Do you remember what happened to? Do you remember what happened to Achan when he took that which belonged to God in the taking of Jericho? The gold and the silver was not to be taken. It was supposed to go to who? The Lord. The Jericho was the first city, wasn't it? Right? Jericho was the first fruits. The first fruits belong to God. Don't touch the first fruits. They belong to God. Achan took what belonged to God. What happened? He was cursed with a curse, wasn't he? Let me ask a question. Who does the Bible belong to? My Bible says Holy Bible. Holy means it belongs to God. What does the Bible say happens to a person who will alter the Word of God? What? He'd be cursed with a curse, won't he? Right? All right? 1 Corinthians 3 says that the church, the New Testament church, is the temple of God. He belongs to God. Oh, we better turn there because we got to make you see it with your eyeballs. 1 Corinthians 3, I already missed one. And then 1 Corinthians 3. Notice it says, verse 16, knowing not that ye are the temple of God. This verse is not talking about your body. It's talking about the church. Knowing not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. You know, the church belongs to God. The person that thinks that they can try to wreck the church of God and get away with it, they're mistaken. God says the church is holy. It belongs to God. And he will defile the person who tries to defile the church of God. Why? You don't touch that which belongs to God. You don't touch that which belongs to God. And the Bible says the tithe belongs to God. The tithe belongs to God. It doesn't belong to you. Doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. Now turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine wages. Is that what it says? The first fruit of all thine what? Increase. You know, you can have a lot of increase that's not by wages. Right? You can have Paul's rich uncle give you $20,000. That's increase, isn't it? Right? You can have Obamacare because you have lots of kids. He can just, you know, he gives you $3,000 or $2,000 or whatever it is per child. That's increase, right? You know, your rich uncle dies and you get an inheritance. That's an increase, isn't it? Isn't it? It's amazing. I've watched people that somehow they don't think those increases belong to God. And I can tell you where they are today. It's amazing how that works. Why? Because the Bible says, oh, I know what it says. Did it say last fruits or second fruits? Is that what it said? First fruits. Now, is the tithe after Uncle Sam and your vacation allowance and your union allowance and your unemployment insurance and Medicaid and Medicare and Obamacare? Does it come after that or before it? Before, first fruit. First fruits. You see, the tithe belongs to God. when we give the tithe, we aren't really giving at all. Because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. It is all a part of the reality. If we understand spiritual realities, if a person doesn't understand spiritual realities, they're not even on first base, are they? What are spiritual realities? Well, turn back to Malachi chapter 3. Spiritual realities. Wherein have we robbed thee? Verse 8. God's answer, in tithes and offerings. By the way, what's the difference between a tithe and an offering? A tithe belongs to God. You don't begin to give an offering until after you tithe. We take a special offering. Don't put your tithe in there. That's not an offering, that's stealing from God. Notice it says, verse 9, you're cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now I realize there's many ingredients of spirituality. And we're only talking about one of them, okay? But let me ask you a question. I don't know the answer to this. I think I know. I mean, we have mega churches in this town. We have mega church. Had 850 the second Sunday. 850 people. There's a mega church not far from here. 5,000 people. There's other mega churches, 7,000, 10,000. Let me ask you a question. How many people think tithe? You rub shoulders with some of them. How many of them do you think tithe? They claim the name of Jesus Christ. How many think of them tithe? I don't think many of them tithe. If you had 5,000 people on Sunday and they all tithe, they could have coated that thing in gold. They don't tithe. What's the spiritual condition of America? Apathetic, dead, materialistic, worldly, full of addictions. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Well, why? What's one of the reasons among many other? It says ye are cursed with a curse. You are cursed with a curse. You know, I don't know much about curses, but you know, a curse is something you can't just shake off. You know what I mean? Samson, you know, he kind of shook himself, you know? But you know what? You can't just kind of shake a curse off. It's bigger than you. It's a spiritual reality. And you know, the worst curse that could come is hardness of heart. And the love of money over God. And you name it. This is spiritual reality. Now, I believe there's a physical reality. I believe that God always gets his tithe. I believe God always gets his tithe. And he will get it. But I tell you what, I'd rather give my tithe to God and see the house of God prosper than have to give it to I don't know who. And that doesn't mean that just because someone had a repairman come to the house, they're cursed with a curse. That doesn't mean that at all. But I tell you what, if you don't tithe, you have a pretty good chance of having financial problems. Because if you steal in the Old Testament, how many times did you have to pay back? Fourfold. That means got to get back four times as much as you stole from him. That's not very good mathematics, is it? But notice the spiritual principle. Now, but that isn't anywhere close to the spiritual curse that is on a person who is a thief. Now, I realize God is merciful, but when a person gets saved, they ought to be able to read the Bible. And when a person knows what the Bible said, they ought to obey it. And if they don't obey what the Bible says and they know what it says, boy, I tell you what, that's really serious. That's really serious. But notice the spiritual principle. Bringing all the tithes into the storehouse, verse 10, that ye may, there may be meat in mine house. You know, one of the great reasons to tithe is because when people of God love God, they want the house of God to prosper. They want the work of God to prosper. But notice it says that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, first of all, the principle is this. Anybody who tithes knows that God will make the 90% go further than the 100% would ever go. Anybody in tithes knows that the 90% will go much further than the 100% you kept yourself. God does a miracle. He makes the 90% cover more than the 100% would originally. And yet, you only had 90%. But there's another principle that's better. You get to prove God. You get to see God work. You get to see the promises of God work. You get to see the principles of God's word at work. You're relieved of the curse spiritually, economically. You are beginning to understand spiritual truth. You are beginning to understand spiritual truth. Now, you know what? I grew up in an unsaved home. I all my relatives were unsaved. Catholics, Lutherans, you name it. And I heard it a million times if I heard it once. Yeah, churches, all I want is your money. That's how unsaved people think. Right? That's how they think. You know what? God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need a penny of it. You need to give for your spiritual good. It is for our good. It is for our spiritual advancement. It is for our lives that we tithe. We can take the curse, or we can take the blessing. I'll take the blessing. Now, this is a great principle. But there's another principle. Let's go back to Luke 16. Verse 9. You there? Raise your hand if you're there. Good. All right. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now you have to think about that. What is he saying? He is saying basically this. He says, use that filthy lucre. Use that filthy lucre to the best of your ability to prepare for your eternity. It's not talking about earning your way to heaven. It's talking about that we are to use our resources to the best of our ability to reach souls for Jesus Christ. So that when we get to heaven, they will be there to welcome us. Paul, what did he say to the Thessalonians? Ye are my joy and my crown of rejoicing. Ye, even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a principle there. The principle is that principle of the parable of the talents and the parable of the pounds. That everything that we have been given has been given to us by God. And that someday we will give account of everything that has passed through these hands, of how we have used it, if we have wasted it, if we have used it foolishly, if we have spent it on that which is for naught. Because God has given us what we have. And our if we are thinking ahead towards heaven, we will realize that this temporary thing called money and resources that we have is for one main purpose. For the advancement of the kingdom of God. So that when we get to heaven, just like Jesus said, they may receive us into everlasting habitations. Now, what is the world's thinking about money? You know, the world's thinking is, boy, well, as much as you got, great. Great. You know, use it for yourself as much as possible. God's plan is be wise, be frugal. Take those pounds so that they increase. Invest it wisely. So why? You can give more in the long run. You can make it count for God the most. Because we're only going to be on this earth a few short years. And we're going to be in heaven a long time. You know, worldly people, they plan ahead. They plan ahead for retirement, and you ought to plan ahead. They plan ahead for their earthly existence. And foolish people don't. But we ought to be another step wiser than that. Because we have an eternity. And there's something that counts more than pleasure. It's souls. The souls of men. Now, I'm not saying that you just take your bank account and throw it in the offering. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that we have to realize that everything that we have been given comes from the Lord. And we are to be wise stewards. And God is saying that a person whom God can trust is a person who can handle that unrighteous mammon and use it the way God intended it to be used. That man, that woman, that child, who can be entrusted with that money and see it as a tool for the advancement of the kingdom of God and be able to give it wisely and to give it gladly. Because the main issue in life is how many souls come to Christ and live for His glory. You know, we ought to be excited about giving to missions. Amen. We ought to be excited about giving. We ought to be constantly thinking, Lord, how can I give more? Now, that doesn't mean we don't take care of our own. That doesn't mean we don't plan for the future. That doesn't mean we don't save. That doesn't mean any of those things. We take all our responsibilities seriously, but at the same time we say, Lord, I want to give as much as I can give. Why? Because eternity is a long time. Now, young person, let me ask you a question. Do you tithe? Do you tithe? I mean, do you tithe? When you get an increase, do you tithe? Now, I'm going to say that this is a parent problem for the most part. Because children at the earliest of age should learn how to trust God. And that parent should be very, very scrupulous to make sure that their children tithe. Now, of course, if they don't tithe, they aren't going to be too scrupulous about that. But you know, now some of you children are teenagers. And the issue is, do you gladly tithe? Do you gladly tithe? And when you tithe, do you wish you could give more? And when you think, and what about that missionary offering? What about that missionary offering? Do you give that missionary offering? When should a child start giving that missionary offering? As soon as they receive some kind of money, they ought to be start giving to missions. You say, Why? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No man can serve two masters. For either he will love the one and despise the other. Not quoting exactly right. No man can serve God and man. It will take away your heart. Now, this is a revelation. It's a revelation of what's our spiritual thinking. And that's what I'm concerned about. You know, it's a revelation of our spiritual thinking. If we don't tithe, we are not spiritually minded. We do not understand spiritual things. Our heart is far from God. Now, there could be a multitude of other things. But a tithe is a revelation of our heart. It's a revelation of our spiritual values. It is really a revelation of what we think about going to heaven. If we really think that's of any value or not, it's a revelation of what we think about souls. And the millions who have never heard. And actually, I'm not preaching this message for our offerings to increase. That wasn't even a million miles from my mind. In fact, it didn't even come across my mind. I preach this message because this is an important spiritual truth. And young person, I preach this message for you that if you don't gladly tithe, I hope that you see that the Bible says there is something all mixed up in your heart. And you are not a spiritually minded person, nor will you ever be. Until you get this thing figured out. On the other hand, it very well could tell you what is your real idol or who is your real God. Money can represent your love for pleasure. That's more important than God. Money can represent your love for things. That's more important than God. Money can represent your love for clothes. For some people, that's more important than God. We could go a whole list, couldn't we? And all because of that false idol, we don't tithe. But on the other hand, if we love Jesus Christ, if we love Him, if we understand what the real issues of life are, we'll not only love to tithe, but we'll want to tithe even more than we do. And we'll not think of it as something that we lost, but we will think of it as something that we gained. We'll not think of what we could have bought with it, but we'll think of what perhaps Saul might come to Christ because the work of God prospered. He that is faithful in that which is least, that's money, is faithful also in much. That's spiritual ministry. Money is an opportunity. An opportunity to think spiritually. It's an opportunity to build God's kingdom. It's an opportunity to get victory over the thinking of the world. It's an opportunity to bring glory to God and a multitude of other things. Now, you know, when I was unsaved, I remember every Sunday, we went to Sunday school, we had a little envelope, and we gave 15 cents every Sunday. 10 cents was for the church and 5 cents was for missions. You know, I don't know if I ever thought about even giving more than that. I mean, that's just what we gave. 10 cents for the church and 5 cents for missions. I mean, I had never even heard such a thing as tithing. I remember when I first got saved, I was working on road construction. I thought $5 a week was a lot. That's okay. After all, when we grew up, you know, if we went to church, we put a dollar in the offering plate. $5 is pretty good. But you know, you start growing in the Lord, you begin to realize you want to do as much for God as you can. You want to do as much for God as you can. And even some people who tithe, they could give a lot more, but they only give as much as they have to. That's really not what God wants, is it? He wants us to give because we have a heart for God. And we can trust Him. And we want Him to be able to trust us even more. Now I know there's some of you that are very tender and very sweet and you have nothing and you're going to, you know, you just don't just, I'm not telling, just be careful. You know, don't follow your emotions now. Don't just throw everything you got in the offering plate. I'm not asking you to do that. We're talking about spiritual principle here. And parents, check up with your children. Check up and see how their heart is. You might learn a lot. You know, I think there's another principle that's pretty obvious to me. I asked Paul this question. Paul, do you think a young person who doesn't tithe would typically hear the voice of the Lord? The voice of the Lord to call into full-time service? I agree with you. No. That's a pretty serious thought, isn't it? Now you wonder why so few young people being called into full-time Christian work. This is just one illustration. And why it's an important spiritual truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to preach your word and to give a serious, profound, simple, but significant truth from God's word. And now, Lord, I pray that you give grace. Because, Lord, it's hard to be humble. And it's hard to obey, even when another man is around. But Lord, give grace that we might do this before you. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. Is the Lord speaking to your heart? I'm sure he's trying. Do you tithe? Oh, you say, I'm only 5 years old. You should be tithing. You say, I'm only six. Well, you should be giving to missions. You say, God is speaking to my heart. And I want God's blessing in my life. And you say, you know, I've tithed here and there. Maybe you only tithe the net, not the gross. But it won't happen unless we decide to do it. And you say, God spoke to my heart. I know what the Bible says. It has nothing to do with Pastor Roberts. It has to do with what's right. And tonight, by the grace of God, I'm making that decision to not take what belongs to God. But I am going to tithe faithfully, regularly. I'm going to be a tither. And that is the decision that I'm making, not for next week, but for my life. I'm going to be a tither. And you've never made that decision and kept it before. Are you going to tithe the gross? You're going to tithe the increase, whether it's by labor or by something else. But you're going to tithe. And by the grace of God, you're willing to make that decision tonight and get it settled. Young person, adult, would you lift up your hand? Okay, praise God. Number of different hands. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Very important decision for a 9-year-old. Very important decision for a 12-year-old. Who else? The Lord is speaking to your heart. I'm going to be a tither. Okay. Praise God. There's a first grader. Amen. Who else? I'm going to be a tither. God, I know this is God's will, and I'm surrendering to God's will. Okay? Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you for these decisions. 12 or more young people, Lord, that are going to be able to be trusted by you with their life. Because they're going to have the right value system. They're going to learn to put you first. They're going to learn to live by faith. They're going to live for heaven, not for earth. And I pray in your grace and mercy, Lord, that these great principles will be learned in their lives and that you will teach them great faith and prove to them, Lord, these truths. I pray for your blessing. In Jesus' name.